This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Whoa!
I threw everybody off with that one.
Whoa!
Sorry.
What just happened?
And Chris Ello.
I think he's kind of a mouth.
Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
It just says a bunch of stuff that I don't agree with.
All right. I'm going to move on from this as fast as possible.
Number two. It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes, yes, yes.
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look, here comes our fearless producer.
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Check, 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 check. Wrong mic.
We're here. Don't go anywhere.
Go ahead, Chris. Why don't you go ahead? Your mic is on.
Tony is getting his mic worked on.
There it is.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in. Gwen and Chris.
Yeah, here we are.
Thursday afternoon.
Scraby leaves. Just because he was here in the studio, it gets messed up even before he
checked.
Leaves.
You checked with me. You asked me what mic it was. I said mic 5. You said yes. It's actually mic 4.
Actually,
mic 4.
I never confirmed.
He doesn't know.
I don't know.
You did. You said yes.
No, he's
he's the worst person to ask about that.
That was the whole purpose of me asking you, do you know what mic I'm on?
Yeah, he doesn't know.
So when you said 5, I said, all right, because I ask Scraby sometimes, and he doesn't know either. So there we have it. We're off to a fantastic start. Matt Scraby officially not on the show today.
It's just, yeah, we've traded him to the midday for a while.
It's just me, you, and Frank today.
And we'll see if he, was worthy of coming back.
Yeah, we'll find out. Padres take 2 of 3. We'd be remiss if we didn't.
That's a good way to look at
it. We didn't add to the fact that they gave the third one away.
Yeah,
it was a tough loss. It was unusual loss for the Padres, and from the fact that the bullpen, the strongest part of the bullpen, really was the culprit in this particular case.
Yeah, it was a weird. I looked at it this way to try to make myself feel better. I felt Tuesday. They won a game that they probably should have lost, right? They gave up 6 runs in the first inning, and that's only the second time in Padre history that they've ever come from behind like that after being down 6 in the first inning to win. So they won one they should have lost, and then they lost one they should have won. So in that regard, I guess it's even. The thing that was strange, you said it, the bullpen, Jason Adam had a very rare bad outing.
Very rare.
Although his baseball would have it, his ERA actually went down because both of the runs that were charged to him were unearned.
Yeah.
So, it was that part's a bit strange. The other part was strange, Tony, is when this team hits with runners in scoring position, they win.
Except
and they
for
were
yesterday.
4 for 5 yesterday. Yeah. They had all kinds of clutch hits. Every time they had a chance, they came through. And Gavin Sheets came through again with another home run. So, yeah, it was weird in that regard. And they'd been beating the National League teams all year. And, Marlins, they kept playing. I mean, I'll give them that much.
Yeah, they
play
hard.
And they bounced back, and they won the ball game. I think Mike Schilt and we talked about it on the roundtable, he's taking maybe a little more criticism than he often gets. And why is that? Because the moves he made didn't work. And when that happens, and we've said this before, a great bullpen makes managers look like geniuses because they make a move, it works. But yesterday, he made pretty much the same moves he always makes, but they didn't work. And Morgan gave up the home run. Adam had a tough day. Peralta couldn't get through the eighth. I thought that was the only one that I thought of. Which one? You bring Suarez there with the bases loaded to try to wrap up the eighth inning. I'm not enamored right now with Peralta in terms of my level of trust. But Suarez has pitched in, I think you said today, what, six of the last eight games.
Yeah.
You don't want him to come in the eighth, have to warm up again in the ninth, throw all these pitches. So I'm sure that all factors in. And we don't think about that as fans when we're watching the game. We sit there and go, well, where's Suarez?
Right.
And Mike Schilt goes, all right, I got Suarez, but do I want to, you know, use him here because he's been used so much?
Now, mind you, he would have been in the game had they gone into the ninth inning. So he would have went, what, six, so seven of nine if the Padres had a lead.
But
they
he wouldn't have had to warm up an extra time. No, he wouldn't have had to,
And they wouldn't have to extend him, right? Which was the idea, was that they weren't going to run the risk of running him out there without, when they've been running him out there a lot. Just that simple.
If that was the Dodger game too, right? Final game of the Dodger series, got a chance to sweep, probably a little different story also. You know, it's the 54th game of the season. We want to go 54-0, but managers have to manage all 162, even when it is the 54th game of the season. So, you know, they did what they did, and I can live with that. You know, Manny made a rare error, although most of the errors he makes, Tony, are because he's trying to make a great play. And I'm sticking up for him on that one because it was a high chopper. He had to short hop it, which he did. And then he thought he could get two, which would have been an incredible double play. And I think in his haste, you know, he couldn't grab the ball.
Yeah, no, that's not a, so, that was, a, I mean, that was just him trying to make the, probably the play that most people can't make.
That's right. Yet. Most guys would just pick it up and throw it to first base, and there wouldn't have been a problem.
He was looking to turn two.
Yes,
on that,
he was. And so that's what got him the error.
I agree.
But I had one. I have the tiniest bone to pick with Manny. And so I always like when you're here. First of all, let it be said that he's, I think, one of the most intelligent baseball smart guys we've ever seen. But I thought in the bottom of the ninth, trailing by two, he got ahead in the count 2-0 with two outs. And I thought that's a place to take a pitch and try to maybe work the count, work a walk, give, you know, Merrill or somebody a chance to tie it up. And he swung at a 2-0 pitch that, you know, he didn't hit it hard, right? He popped up, the game was over. That's my bone to pick.
Is that he swung 2-0?
Yeah. And I know that he's supposed to swing 2-0 99.9% of the time. Tell me how dumb I am.
Excuse me.
I'm trying to disarm you, by the way I asked the question.
I won't tell you how dumb you are, but that's what he's paid to do. He's in that spot. 2-0 is like one of the it's an aggressive count.
I know. But even if he homers there, you're still behind by a run. That's my thinking.
So he takes 2-0 and it's a strike and then what?
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe he walks. That was my bone. What can I tell you?
Bad bone.
All right. That's the way I think about things. What'd you think about Fernando running through the stop sign? I didn't have a problem with that one.
You didn't have a problem with that one.
No, because he makes incredible plays with his feet, and with two outs, I always take a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
guy made a pretty good throw.
To me, I don't know that it's I think it's an error because he ran through the stop sign.
Okay.
Like I just think he didn't see him. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Like
maybe.
I don't think he looked him in his face and was like, "Nah, man, I'm going." I really don't.
Not listening to you.
right. I think he off the bat, that's all he was thinking was I'm scoring.
Two outs, I got to go.
I got to go.
Yeah. No, I see. Yeah.
And so I guess I would have liked to see him stop, but I'm not like beside myself that he ran through the stop
sign. And it's a different situation, but I guarantee you in Pittsburgh, when that ball bounced away 1 foot from the catcher.
Who was that against the Padres not that long ago? Ran through a stop sign. He ended up being safe. So it does happen. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it always turns out the way it did.
To me, Fernando, you got to live with a little of that. I wouldn't try to steal third with two outs as he's been caught a couple of times. That I will be critical of, but not trying to score with two outs on a base hit. And anyway. You said they got two out of three. They've won two straight series.
Yeah.
So that's the better way to look at it after they're losing.
Two of three. You get Kyle Hart yesterday made his start for the Padres. 4 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs. I think he got off to a good start. He just started to leave the ball up a little bit, and I think they went conservative.
They had to get him out,
because
Tony.
It looked like it was starting to go the wrong way.
He was gasping for the finish line, right, to get to the end of the fifth inning. And you got a right-handed hitter coming up there. It made sense to make that move. Unfortunately, Morgan, left the pitch in the middle, and Lopez, put a good swing on it. Because after that, Morgan struck out three in a row. Looked pretty sharp. So.
Listen,
unfortunate day, all the way around.
You can't become a great back end arm or a dependable back end arm if you can't be in these moments at times.
Yeah.
I take you back to, I believe it was game one, the first one they won in extra innings, or was that the second?
Yeah, Monday night on the walk off wild pitch.
Monday night, the Marlins get through that ninth inning, and 1-2-3 is coming up in the 10th inning.
Yeah.
Clayton McCullough elected to let that young man face Toddy, Arise, and Manny.
Manny.
And he got through the inning. And he fell behind Manny 2-0 in that.
And that's going to be a big deal for him.
And guess what? That's how he is going to become, hopefully, if he can continue to throw the ball the way he did. I think the kid's name was Taylor. The last name was Taylor.
Yeah.
If he throws the ball like that, he's going to continue to get better. And that's the same thing for Morgan. He gave up the homer, bounced back, struck out the next three dudes. And I like his stuff, man. I think he's got potential to be a good arm.
I understand we're going to find out a little bit more about him tomorrow, because I believe he's going to be our Friar Friday guest.
Indeed he is.
There's all kinds of reasons for why managers make moves that you out there, we in here, don't think about. And so you have to try to, take it with a grain of salt. I thought Ben Higgins said something today on the roundtable. You'll hear the whole roundtable at 5 o'clock today. He said something that I agreed with. And he said that it's taken, some convincing. It's taken some time. But he said he trusts Mike Schilt and Ruben and, front office to AJ all the way, and says he trusts these guys to make the right decisions. And I think that he's right about that. Mike Schilt has been so good. Even if you wanted to be, if you were a Mike Schilt hater, you would really struggle to find things that you could be critical of. This guy thinks everything through. And even if it doesn't work, there was usually a pretty good reason behind why he did it in the first place. So
Mike is unique from the standpoint, like, considering, that he's been doing this for a long time, he's still capable of managing different type of teams, right? Because it's hard to really compare Mike to the previous managers, because the Padres are at such different stages in terms of their roster, the types of players they had. Like, it'd be hard to compare Mike to Greeny when he was here, or Mike to who was another manager?
Tingler,
when he was here, right? Now, you can compare him to Bo, because they had similar rosters. And I would say he has done a superior job in terms of the things that you have to manage in the 2 years that he's been here.
Or a year
and some change that he's been here.
I couldn't agree more. But, it's a downer yesterday. So on we go into a big stretch of games, which
we
can talk about here.
Game 55 coming tomorrow.
All right. Better break.
Let's get to break.
Scraby will get
mad. No, we can't go to break.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're now too, we can't go to
we
break.
We can't go to break. We got to stay for another 2 minutes. I didn't even realize it was that late. See, I haven't been in here in a long time.
I know.
I wasn't looking at the clock like I was supposed to be doing there.
Yeah,
my apologies.
Well, talking about what's coming up, the Pirates series, we fans are going to put way too much pressure on this series.
Miss Skeens again.
And we missed Skeens again, which is the craziest thing. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it did. Four consecutive series, two last year, two this year. And he did us a solid yesterday by completely shutting Arizona down.
He's going to be impossible year three before Padres ever see him.
The only way we're going to see him this year now is if he gets traded to somebody else, because this is it for the Pirates. But after the Pirates, Tony, you and I, and I think the fans and the players, finally get what we've been waiting for. Look, this is, we're already a third into the season.
Yes.
Played the Giants twice and the Dodgers and D-backs zero.
We start getting now some NL West action. Now we finally get some action. Yes. I'm with you.
We can't, and I said this yesterday, we cannot be the only ones here in San Diego complaining about this throughout baseball.
I don't know that everybody else's schedule is like that.
Because of the fact that they do the interleague play against all the teams. The Yankees and the Red Sox don't play 18 times anymore.
No, well
they play 13.
My point is, though, we've played some games against other teams, and they haven't played the opposing league as much. So I'm saying
that's true.
Maybe
we
within
it a
their
lot.
Division, they've played some early games.
Yeah, okay.
Versus that, but for us in particular, we've played the
Giants twice. That's
and the
it.
Rockies. That's
well, the
it.
Rockies. Yeah, they hardly it. Count. So, but none against the Dodgers. None against the Diamondbacks. And now finally, we'll get, I think, a stretch of 20 games, and 17 of them are against those three teams.
All right, let's get to break.
So that's going to be fun.
Before we run past this, Morgan and Chris on the other side. 5 o'clock. We got the round table coming up, and we got a Michael King update coming up around after this break. Morgan and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gravy was in here. He goes home earlier when he's on the show.
He literally was in
my
here
goodness
the entire break.
And everything got thrown into chaos. Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. 220 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in studio here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. Frank Marchese is sitting in with us for the rest of this week and
going nuts.
On into next week. I know. I'm trying to help you, Frank. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get Scraby the hell out of here. But
I'm sitting here.
As,
he finally got things under control, and then the
everything
chaos comes in.
Yeah.
Everything got under control, and then I've got Scraby coming in here. I got Adam coming in here. The rejoin music is going. Everybody leave. We're doing a show now. Go. Leave.
And they kind of did. So, all right, we're back. Padres off today, and the Pirates come in tomorrow for the weekend. And then, as we mentioned, it gets fun. It gets interesting. You go to San Francisco for four. You get Arizona. Actually, Milwaukee. That's the outlier series. Although that's a good series.
Yeah.
That's a good series. Tony goes back home and they honor him and stuff before the game. And then after that,
that's
you
not
get,
happening.
I know.
By,
I know. I know. Then you get Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Dodgers. So it's going to be great. And this is what we want. We want way more of these games, way less. I think we want way less games against, you know, the likes of the, of the even the Rays and the Blue Jays and the Royals and even the Angels. I know they're local, but we don't need to see those teams. We get excited. Nobody's lining up for the Royal series, but the Dodger series, people have been waiting for this all year. And I did check, Tony, the Yankees and Red Sox haven't played yet this year either. So I think baseball's doing a disservice to the fans that love these, you know, great, you know, matchups year after year with the division title at stake. And especially when you look at what's happened so far this year, I know we're disappointed with the way the Padres have been playing of late, but if we could have said before the season that one third of the way through 54 games, the Padres would be sitting in second place, two games behind the Dodgers, I think we would have taken that, right? Most people figured it'd be over by now.
Without a, I mean, everybody thought it was going to be like a 16 game.
Yes,
lead by
we'd be
now.
Down by 9, 10, 11
Stop
games.
It. Yes.
So the fact that you're right there and now you're finally getting games, you know, the Dodgers will be in here in a week and a half and, you know, four in San Francisco. I like a good four game series. You can sink your teeth into it. Now, here's the problem for the Padres is it's the timing isn't the greatest, you know, because of the injuries. And we don't know when Michael King will be back. We hope it's just, you know, the 15-day or 10-day, whatever it is. And he only misses, you know, one more start at the maximum. Darvish, we're still, you know, pretty much in the dark on that. So, and I mean, are the Padres really ready to go into this with a rotation that, you know, includes Kolek and Hart? And if you don't like Hart, and because the Padres haven't named a starter in that spot yet for next week, I mean, who would you go with? I don't know that Waldron's ready yet either. So that's a little bit of the issue. You know, your starting pitching is in a little bit of tatters, but that's everybody's team. The Dodgers are not 100% healthy coming in here in a week and a half either. So other teams have had their issues as well. And, the you know, the good ones find a way to negotiate it, Tony. That's all you can do.
Did you guys just see this trade?
Happened? Wait, what? Hey, baseball trade?
Yes.
Just now?
Yes, the villains. The Dodgers acquired right-handed reliever Alexis Diaz in a trade with the Reds for minor leaguer Mike Villani.
Alexis Diaz had been completely disposed of his role in Cincinnati and sent
indeed
to the minor leagues.
He has indeed.
Sounds like, I don't want to say a reach, but certainly a risk.
It sounds like they need some help.
Yeah, they do.
Tanner Scott has not been good.
He's got a 4.6 ERA. He's had five blown saves. Gave up a four spot yesterday. Vesia gave up the game-winning homer. Yes, the Dodgers, not as everything is hunky-dory there. We don't have time to worry about their problems, but they have problems. Yeah, I think Michael Conforto hit a home run the other night, and you know, Dodger fans were in disbelief.
He had not been hitting at all this year.
Muncy continues to struggle.
Real quick, so. Michael King.
Yeah, what about him?
Yesterday said there would be an update sometime today. Has that up or sometime tomorrow? Should be tomorrow. That was at the presser post game yesterday. He said
it should be coming Friday because they are able to do more testing today to get a clearer picture for tomorrow.
So you know. From that standpoint, they're still trying to figure it out. And Mike Schilt said that as well. He said that they were kind of in a discovery phase of this issue, trying to figure out what it is. But that's an answer that they are definitely kind of waiting on.
Yeah, it's a big deal right now.
And so
with what's coming up.
I don't know that it's going to be something that's like long, but until he gets that rid of that discomfort that he has in that.
They're not going to take a chance.
They're just not going to take a chance.
This is his, yesterday would have been the second start for him, right? Because of the day he actually got hurt, he missed that start. Yesterday he would have pitched. So it looks like it's going to be at least one more. I got to read between the lines. I can't imagine he's going to be ready. Although, like I said, they haven't named a pitcher in that spot next week. In San Francisco yet.
So he's at 10 days right now.
Right. Yeah.
It was retroactive. The previous, not the two starts he's missed. It was retroactive his last start before that.
Yeah.
So he's only got, I think, five more days on this IL before a decision, which would be one more start. And then maybe we find out what it is at that point.
I have no complaints if you Darvish wants to, you know, say surprisingly that I'm ready, especially with the Dodgers coming up, because he's always been kind of a Dodger whisperer. But, yeah, they could certainly use another arm right here if Waldron can get healthy. And I don't know where he stands. But like I said, you got this stretch. It's not a make or break. I know a lot of people think, everything's in the line. Yeah, they're big games. It's fun. This is what you play for, to play in big games, in the season. But Yeah, there's other ways to skin a cat, too. You don't have to win every single game with starting pitching. You can win with your bullpen. You can win if you can hit. And Fernando Tatis Jr., I think, is showing a few signs here and there. You know, once he gets rounded back into shape, and it's pretty funny now that after the first, 6 weeks of the season, Tony, he was almost the MVP in the league. Yeah. And now nobody thinks he's even, you know, can play at all. It changes so quickly. But we know Fernando is going to get right back into the groove. Manny's been there the whole year. Arise has been. I think they can score. And you know, Sheets has been incredible. So, you know, you may have to, you know, score a few more runs in the next few weeks. Here.
I don't think there's any question that as you wait to see with Michael King and you hopefully get Darv back at some point, the onus is going to be on the offense to put up some runs.
A little bit,
I think so. I think that the pressure falls on them to, and they've been answering the call when they've been put in these spots. So that they'll, and now it's just going to come against some pretty good teams.
All right. Well, Pirates are first, and then we get ready for the gauntlet of the NL West. Gwynn and Chris is underway. Good to be with you. Good news at San Diego State. We'll share that with you if you hadn't heard it yet. And some more as we move along here until 5 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some San Diego State news. We'll start on the hardwood.
Yeah.
Miles Byrd, who had been in the draft process, getting the evaluation, decided just a few hours before deadline that he will return to San Diego State for his junior year. Remember,
and we will roll out the red carpet for you, Miles. Welcome back.
Awesome. This is obviously, Chris, a big get for the Aztecs that have had a little bit of luck go their way, it seems like, this offseason, I guess you call it.
I think it's luck, yes, but I think it's all, you know, a little bit design,
touché,
right? I mean, Brian Dutcher and this staff, I think, make these guys feel welcome, wanted, you know, with the lack of a better term, loved. You know, I think they feel a part of something here. And I think that factors into their decision. The other part of it is something that is not on the surface, Tony, but I think you and I would agree. The NIL is still there, right? So Miles Byrd, and I'm not suggesting that it's anybody wrote him a check, but he can make money this year while he's playing for the Aztecs, rather, because he would have been a second-round draft pick, maybe even the high end of the second round. That right. gives you a decent chance to make the NBA, but it's not a given. But if you don't have NIL and you're not going to make any money your last year in college, you're just going to go play, then maybe you would take the second-round pick so you can get paid while you work yourself and develop your game. But now with the NIL, he can stay at San Diego State, make some money, have a better year, go back in the draft, and maybe get the first round next year, in which now your chances of making it are, you know, increased much more.
I don't know how much Miles is getting on the NIL side, so it's tough to really go down that
path. It is, but
I know it's certainly a part of it. But according to Dutch, you know, who spoke about it, he was saying that Miles was basically waiting on his evaluations. And, he, you know, according to Mark Ziegler's article, basically said a team would have had to tell him that, hey, we're drafting you with this pick in order for him to go. And if he didn't get that, his thought at the time, this was Tuesday before we got the news of Miles Byrd, that he would come back. And so either way, it's a big boom for the Aztecs to get him back. He's going to be able to now work on the things that maybe he was evaluated on and improve his stock ultimately than what it probably was going to be this time around.
I think it's great. And, you know, the fact that Magoon Gwath made the same decision.
Yeah.
And it, we also know that money was thrown at him to go to Kentucky or somewhere else. And he, again, you know, was you know, devoted to the team that gave him his chance, the program that brought him along. I think it was great. You don't see it very often anymore.
Well, he said that early in the process, that unless he was drafted, he had no desire in transferring school because he probably could have made whatever he was looking for in the open market in terms of transfer portal, right?
Right.
But he said that before the process even finished, that if he wasn't drafted, he was returning back to San Diego State. And so huge get. Now, in some other, I would say, bad news on the Aztec side.
Yes.
Head baseball coach Sean Cole was relieved of his duties after two seasons as the Aztec head coach.
Well, I'm really upset to hear this.
Yeah.
Because... No, you're not going.
What?
Not in line for the job.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. I'm not.
I was a little worried there for a minute.
I'm not going.
You're
anywhere.
Not going to do that, huh?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
You know, this unfortunately is how these things can go sometimes. Sean's a good dude, and certainly was putting his best foot forward to try to move the program in the right direction. Didn't go the way I think everyone had hoped, and so now the Aztecs will.
It'll be interesting to see.
Look to see
where they pivot here.
It was interesting is that they have been in this situation, and each time it has stayed within, I think the program, and it'd be interesting to see if they actually go outside of the program this time around.
Yeah, well,
we'll see.
J.D. Wicker has made a lot of really good decisions.
Yes, he has.
On coaching hires. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why. Am I the only one who thinks that the fans of San Diego State are incredibly unfair when it comes to the football situation where you give a guy 1 year?
I think so.
And you've already decided that he's not going to get it done.
Yeah. No, I think so.
You know, I don't get that. Sean Lewis, give him a chance. Give him a couple years to incorporate his plan. You know, people really, I think, ran away from this program way too fast. Nobody expects anything from football this year. And, you know, I don't think you're being fair to that. You got to give the guy a little time.
I don't think there's any question. You got to give him some time. I mean, it's a new day in terms of football, and I think prior to Sean taking over, might have been a little bit behind the times, and it seems like there's some catch up that has to happen here, and is in the process of happening. So,
yeah, and the other thing with San Diego State is what's going to be interesting moving forward is, you know, what is going to ultimately happen with the future of the new Pac-12?
Yes, that is the thing that
right?
seems
it's been
to be
kind of out there, but it still hasn't been decided yet.
I haven't even heard anything
I
yet
know.
In terms of, you know, because the thing that the sticking point right now was that they didn't have the amount of teams needed in order to, you know, qualify for, you know, I think some of this football stuff that we are having conversations of.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, man. I hope.
TV deal is still not, I don't think, 100% been settled.
Nope.
So they got a lot of work to do. And I know J.D. Wicker is, you know, he's pretty knee-deep in that kind of stuff, too. A big deal. He knows it.
It seems like a lot of that stuff popped off, like, during the summertime last year. So hopefully we're getting to that stage where we start to hear and start to get some news.
Yeah,
finally.
I would like to know, you know, because right now I'm not positive. Somebody out there knows more. Six teams are in the Pac-12 for football. Is it changed?
I think it's six still.
San Diego State, Fresno State,
yep.
Colorado State,
Utah,
Fresno
State.
Fresno State or Utah State. Yeah, so four teams came in and to join Oregon State and Washington State. That's six. Gonzaga's
in Boise.
Okay, Boise.
So it's seven. think it's seven.
Okay.
They were missing one, I believe.
Actually, I think it was just Boy. I don't know. Somebody help us out.
You know
but
what?
I think it's six or seven teams. But and then
Let's
Gonzaga is in for basketball only because they don't have a football team.
That's right.
Other than that, I don't know of any other programs. I know they've mentioned Memphis. They mentioned, okay, you know, some of those teams
Oregon
from the Midwest.
State, Washington State.
Yeah.
Boise State.
Okay.
Colorado State.
Four.
Fresno State.
Five.
San Diego
six,
State. Utah State.
Utah State. So
yes,
it is seven.
Yeah, seven.
Okay, so they need
Gonzaga's
one more.
The only
and Gonzaga's
non-
the eight for
right.
basketball.
Exactly.
Okay. So they still need a couple more. Anyway, good luck to the a guy who's going to be very busy this summer, J.D. Wicker. I'll tell you what, J.D., I'll put off my contract negotiations for the summer so you can get this
out.
Done. Yeah, so you can get this done. very important. I wish I was the Oklahoma softball team. What a game they just played.
Walk-off three-run jack.
This is a center. Team that has won four straight NCAA titles, Oklahoma, and they're losing to Tennessee 3-1, two outs, bottom of the seventh, Frank. Corrected me. I said bottom of the ninth, but yeah, last to bat.
They don't play nine.
Yeah, I know. Two outs, last swing, two on, three-run homer. Oklahoma wins 4-3 in the first round of the Women's College World Series. Congrats to them. They're off to a good start there.
All right, the Padres have gotten through a third of the season.
Isn't that something? How does it feel to you, Tony? Does it feel like it's been a third?
No, it does not.
Not yet? Or it feels like it's been more than a third?
It feels like it's been more than a third.
But you should be closer to the finish.
I write down the number game it is every day.
Yes, so, right in your book. Yes. So you
know,
keep up with that.
54 coming up here.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right.
55, excuse me. 55
right.
tomorrow.
Yeah. 54 down, 108 to go.
Yeah. You had some questions about the third of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the numbers here, and I want to see what you think is sustainable, where you think things can get better. Not, you know, because of underperformance, but just because of where the numbers usually say. And let's start with Manny, who had a little power surge here with the three home runs. And by the way, Scraby brings up to me the other day, yesterday, when I came back, and he goes, you know, people are all over Manny because they're saying he's not clutch. I don't know where. And I'm like, doesn't it count that he hit maybe the biggest home run of the season so far to end the six-game losing streak in the top of the ninth inning to win the game in Atlanta? I mean, you people that are constantly critical amaze me sometimes. The selective memory, as it were, Tony, right?
I think you should ignore
God.
Him. I think you should ignore
yes,
him.
Yes, but when it gets me
that,
mad, I gotta
that was,
say something.
That was my advice for Scraby. While you
yeah.
got, because, you know, sometimes it's just those couple of people who are saying it. And it's so loud that it feels
they
like
say
everybody.
It loud. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, everybody's not saying that. I think that's ridiculous. That if he literally hit a homer in the top of the ninth. He hit one the next or 2 days later to give the Padres some extra breathing space.
Yes.
Yeah, man, let's knock it off.
I know. But he's okay, so his total third of the season, though, six home runs, 25 RBIs. I'm not going to call on him to improve that. What I'm going to say is that I believe that just, based on what we've always seen, is going to be a bigger numbers in the second and third part of the seasons. Because right now he's on pace for 18 homers, and we know he hits more than that. And he's on pace for 75 RBIs, and we know he does more than that.
Well, I will tell you that he's ahead of his pace from last year.
Is he?
Yes, he
oh,
is.
Oh, really?
So,
see, I didn't know that.
Jesse, my student partner.
Your other guy, yeah.
He told me that that he was ahead of the pace in terms of home runs.
So that's good to know.
2 days ago. So, I mean, maybe he's on the same pace now, 2 days later. But
right. But so you know that's going to increase. Now, one thing that won't increase with Manny, at least I don't think, he's got seven steals. He's on pace for 21. I don't think he'll get to there.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think he'll get to 21.
No. Fernando's at 13 homers, Tony, and nine steals. He's just below. Right now he's at 39-27. I think he can get the 40, the homers. The steals, he's been not running as much. And maybe that's by design.
He said as much that he's, you know, he's trying to, he wants to get through the season.
Yeah,
he
doesn't want to push that.
You gotta be smart about I think he took off the other day. It was and he fouled it off. I think he's just going to pick his spots. You ain't going to see it as often as you saw it early in the season. Yeah. Just I just think he's more concerned with being in that lineup every day.
But are we thinking 40 home runs?
For
he's
sure.
He's got 13.
For sure.
So he's on pace for that.
Definitely see, looking at
Xander
40.
Bogaerts has 11 steals. He leads the team. I think that surprises some people.
And he's perfect so far.
11 for 11. Is he going to go 33? That sounds a lot for Xander at this advanced age.
I will say he doesn't look like he's slowing. It looks like it's something that he is intentionally doing.
Committed to.
Yeah, committed to. Better word. Better word. Committed to.
Gavin Sheets is on pace for 33 home runs, 102 RBIs. Wouldn't that be something?
I think I said...
Oh, man.
I think I said... I expect it to be somewhere between 25 and 30.
Yeah, over 25, huh?
I think okay. I can see that.
Can he get to 100 RBIs? He's at 34 right now.
I think he can.
That's
based off of the dudes in front of him and him continuing to hit.
Right.
I think what we're seeing from him hit-wise is real. And I assume the four guys that are going to be in front of him on most
nights.
They're going to be on unless they have cleaned off the plate already.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a shot.
Wow.
I'm going to go with it.
Listen,
here's the thing. I remind everybody, we kind of hit on this during the Big Five, Big Five, the round table.
Yeah.
No one predicted last year that they would get the production all season long from Jerickson Profar. That they got.
And they got it. Yeah.
Right? This is almost the same thing through May. That there's no way you could have expected Gavin to come in and perform the way he has.
No way.
But he has. And if Jerickson can keep it up for a whole year, why wouldn't Gavin Sheets be able to do it?
I'm not saying he can't.
No,
that would be great.
I'm making the point that there's a shot that this is going to continue.
And here's another thing I said on there. We shouldn't give away the whole round table, but sorry. For all of the critics of AJ Preller, and there are many, has there been a better off-season free agent signing by any team than Gavin Sheets? Oh, yes, maybe. Nick Pavetta.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's about the only other one.
You can go both of those.
Right?
I mean,
there's some other guy. I don't want to go through every free agent in baseball, but job that he's done with those two guys.
And I lost my train of thought.
Where would they be without them? There's another way to look at it. I hate when you lose your train of thought.
I hate it too.
I know.
I had a really good point.
Darn it. I can't help you here.
No, you can't.
I don't know where you were headed.
You can't help me. I think you can, for those who are, for the few folks that are complaining about the pods, you could talk about the warts, but where would they be without Nick Pavetta early in the season? I mean, and those have been probably the two best signings for bang for your buck.
Anywhere. They have to be. All right, here's two guys that I think, just because, are going to give you a lot more in the second thirds than they gave you in the first third. One is Jackson Merrill. Yes, he missed 24 games, 25 games. But you're going to get more than... He's got 5 homers, 19 RBIs right now. So if he did the same, that'd mean he'd hit 10 more homers and give you 38 more RBIs. I think you're going to get a lot more than that from Jackson Merrill. As far as assuming he's healthy, that's everybody. But I think you can count on more there. And the same for Jake Cronenworth, who's got 4-14. Jake's going to end up with more than 12 homers, isn't he? And he's going to end up with more than 42 RBIs.
Yeah, you got to remember, Jake missed a portion
and he missed time,
of the season.
Too.
Missed
time, so he's missed 24 games also.
Those guys, they're playing catch up in terms of what the numbers look like
but
at
I
this
think,
point.
I think you can count on, as a fan, if you say what can be better, I think those are two places you're going to get more than you've gotten. A couple of pitching numbers. Dylan Cease, right now, is on pace for a 3-win season.
Yeah, that's
he's only got one.
That's going to change.
You got to believe that's got to change.
If you pay close attention, his ERA has ticked down every start.
Right.
He's chipped away. He was up at like an 8 at
one point.
Yeah, I know.
He's at 4-5 now.
He's chipping
down. So he's finally getting it back. Pavetta's on pace for 15. I think we would take that. Vasquez, by the way, I owe all of the props to Vasquez. And I haven't had a chance to say it. But since my, you know, overreaction, let's say, Tony, to him walking everybody, he has hardly walked anybody.
It's been a focus
the last like three
or
four games. And look at the results, I must say. But he has become quite dependable all of a sudden. So that's a big deal. He's 3-4. Suarez, he's got 17 saves, Tony. You're pegging him for 51 by the end of the year. That's what he's on pace for. That's a lot.
I could see that, man. I could see
that. You think he can make it? I hope so.
I mean, I don't know that the Padres will allow him to get that many. You know what I'm saying? Like, not because I think they got so many other guys that, like, Estrada, I could see him ending up with a few more saves.
Give him a few more chances.
I just think that if you get a chance to save some bullets, they will, I think.
All right.
So maybe, I mean, I would love for him to get to 50. That'd be sweet. But I don't know that it's of the most important.
I have to say, one of the things that was crazy yesterday's game, we talked about, you know, Jason Adam had a strange game for him. But when Sheets hit the home run and put them ahead, for that moment in time, Jason Adam was the pitcher of record to win the game.
Vulture.
He would have gone to 6-0.
Continue vulturing wins.
Do you know that the leaders in all of baseball this year have 7? He would have been only one behind as a reliever. Anyway, end up taking the loss, so he's 5-1. But that's one stat that will not, I don't think, repeat. I hope it does, but if Jason Adam wins 15 games and leads the staff, you'd have a story on that one. By the way, the club record for saves in one season is, of course, Trevor, 53. No other Padre has ever had 50. So Suarez could be the second if he keeps it up.
Yeah, that speaks to how good this... That would speak to how good the team is overall if he's getting that many
opportunities. If he get him, that'd be nice.
For sure.
All right, just some fun numbers to play around with.
Daily Gambit up next. Chris and I will get some of these bets off. More Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.